It's 9 o'clock. It's the first Friday of the month, and that means it's time for Sandra the Plant Lady and the Plant Rant, made possible by Baker Orchards at Centuria. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
And guest.
And guest, yes. So, usually start out with community calendar, and actually, my guest is going to talk about what's on the community calendar. So I'd like to introduce Bill Zager from Z Orchard, right here in Amory. And he's on today to talk about Z Orchard and follow up after our conversation with John Morley a couple months ago on how the maple harvesting has went this interesting season. And talk about tomorrow is the maple farm tour happening. So good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Oh, and also, you know, welcome, Bill, to the Underwriter Club. So Bill is one of our newest members, Z Orchard, of the Underwriter Club. So thank you for supporting our community station. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. Yeah, the Maple Farm Tour is our next thing on the community calendar for here, which is Saturday, and it's tomorrow, April 6th, and it is from 9 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. And this year we have three maple producers that are participating.
That's a little bit lower number than normal,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, we had a pretty good organization going, and then we had COVID, and then that fell apart. A lot of people didn't want to have people on their property and stuff during that. So now it's come down to, we were getting reorganized this year, and then we had this strange season come up, and we've always had this set for the first Saturday in April, which should be normally right in the middle of our season, you know, or towards the end of it, but at least during the season. And now this year, the majority of the people are pretty well done cooking already.
Oh, because of that early start.
Yes, it's the first time ever that I actually put taps in January.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's, I had put taps in the mid-February before, but we had a run the first week of February this year, and so it made it early and kind of a odd season.
Right, so how did you navigate that? I mean, you were, obviously you have your supplies ready to go, but were you prepared to have that early run? And then how did that affect, like, when you finished then versus a normal season?
Yeah. Well, it started out, we weren't ready. I mean, we had to get ready quick because, I mean, we thought we had another month or at least 3 weeks to get things organized in the woods and such. But the one thing, there was no snow, so you could navigate really easily in the woods.
Right.
And so it all went okay. And then as the season went, you know, you have to get up into that almost 40-ish degrees during the day. They say above freezing, but the deceptive thing about that is you might look at the report and it says it's going to get up to 38 today. But then if you look at it closely, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon when it hits 38.
Right. And depending upon the time of the year, then the sun is going down, right? And
yeah. So it's a very, low run time, where when it's a little bit later in the season, if it gets up to like 40, it maybe only went down to 28 at night, because you got to get across that freezing mark to make the sap run. So then if it goes across those, then by 10 o'clock in the morning, and so then you're going to have a 6-hour, 8-hour run. So, and sometimes it runs at night too, depending on a lot of things.
If it's a warmer
night, barometric pressure changes, there's different things that affect the flow.
See, when our weather gives the barometric pressure every 20 minutes, there's a reason, folks. We need this information. Certain people need to know what's going on out there. And then how does it affect, I'm just thinking as we're talking about, you know, because some common problems with, say, like thin bark trees like maples and apple trees is that southwest side of the tree heating up, cooling down, those temperature fluctuations. So are there times where, because of the sun on it, that the tree is maybe warmer than what the air temperature would be? But I suppose then that's a certain time period, then it's not long enough to get it.
Yeah, and then it also matters. This year we didn't have much snow cover. Otherwise, the ground around the tree has to start to warm a little bit, too.
Oh, so sure.
As the snow starts to melt, that affects. And I am relatively new at this. I've only been doing it for 20 years.
Only 20, huh?
So I haven't been cooking that long, but that's about how long I've been tapping. So it's all interesting. And this year, I should mention with our Maple Farm Tour, we have the ones who are participating is we have Morley's Maple Syrup up in Luck and Richter Family Maple Syrup, and they're up by Luck also.
Yeah, so John Morley's is right on 48, and there'll be signs out. How do people find the Richters? Where are they at?
They are at on 170th Street in Luck. So it's 2717 170th Street.
Well, and I imagine so, if they went to John's, it would be easy to find, and he can navigate them to the next spot.
Yep, and then the Orchard, which is my place, that is just west of Amory on County Road F, the intersection of C.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, you really can't miss it. When you drive past his place, it's a big corner.
There's a lot going on
there, too.
Yeah, so do you want to talk about we can talk more about the tour and the syruping, or now we're kind of segueing into talking more about what all goes on at Z Orchard aside when you're not making syrup.
It's kind of a hobby gone awry, which it started out, I was doing maple syrup, just collecting sap. And then in 2000...
Oh, so syrup was kind of your origin a little bit in this thing. Interesting.
If any of the locals know Dave Paulson, who used to live just south of town here, him and Glenn Seaman, his son-in-law, they're the two that got me started. And then when Dave passed away, I got his cooker and stuff. And then I've graduated from that and have a little bigger equipment than that now.
Yeah, so, do you want to talk about your system? Because you can see that from
the
road and I'm curious about it. It's different than other setups I've seen.
It's actually an old pizza truck that is, so it's all food grade inside. And so it's got a metal floor and everything, and I have my evaporator in there, so it's separate from my regular building because they take up quite a lot of room. There's room to walk in there, and that's about
it. Well, and heat. I mean, when the syrup's cooking, it's hot. That's a lot of steam and moisture going off.
Yeah, so. the building itself doesn't get just too warm inside because I heat with natural gas. And the evaporator I do not use reverse osmosis. Most of the bigger places use reverse osmosis, which takes the majority of the water out before they start cooking it.
Oh, interesting.
So they get it down, so they cook about 5 gallons to get a gallon of syrup, where I still cook it like you would on an open pan, where you got to cook this year. It was probably 40 plus gallons to get a gallon.
Wow.
So it takes a long time to cook it down. My evaporator will do I can evaporate about 80 gallons an hour, which is kind of a middle of the road size. I mean, if you're doing an open pan, if you can make 5 gallons of syrup in a day, that's a big day. Where mine, I can make, if the sap is running fairly good in sugar content, I make about 2 to 2.5 gallons an hour. So, but that's still nothing compared to if I were using reverse osmosis and got it up to 20% sugar, I could be making probably close to 10 times that much. So
how many gallons are you producing on average in a season?
Well, this year I'm right just shy of 300 gallons of syrup. And Glenn and I cooked together, Glenn Seaman and I, and we had between 11 and 12,000 gallons of sap.
Sure.
So that's...
Those are big numbers.
Well, that's the ratio, though, of the difference of what you get out for what you start with.
But if you go to some place like Morley's, they do that in a day. You know, so it's, I'm still small.
Part of this farm tour is about getting to see the different operations, right? Because there's no one way to do it, and there's different ways. And so they can go to your farm. Will they be able to see the evaporator? And
I'll have everything set up. I won't actually be cooking because I am done for the season.
Sure.
And, but we do have Hardwood Maple Hills, or Hardwood Hills Maple Syrup. They're just up by Pure and Simple on Highway 8.
Yeah.
And then Lovely Maple Syrup, he's got a, Larry Loveroot, he's my neighbor kind of, and he has a flat pan. But once again, like Larry was going to be in this year, but opted not to because he said he was going to be done cooking before then.
Well, so, we'll talk about this again next year. Yeah. Hopefully more people will be involved.
Because then we
again,
could have a
they
few
can
more
see all
of
the different styles.
But like I said, these Morley's, definitely the bigger one, and then Richter's, and then myself would be the order. I'm the smaller one that's on the tour this year. So.
And Richter's kind of in between the two of you?
Yeah,
then?
Yep.
Quantity-wise. And what system are they using?
I am quite certain they use RO, and then they, but they fire with wood.
Oh, yeah. See, that's when you get that heat going.
Yeah. Then you really get a lot of heat. Where mine, with the natural gas, the pans all come from Smoky Lake, which is vendor out of Hilbert, Wisconsin, south of Green Bay.
Okay.
And they make it there, and they're one of the bigger manufacturers of it now in the U.S. And then, because then CDL is from Canada, and Leader is from Europe.
And these are suppliers
of
the evaporators?
Makers of the evaporators.
Okay.
So, but Smoky Lake does a good job, and they're good people.
Well, and it's interesting because, though, like geographically where those things are being produced, because the region, the area of syrup making is, you know, not throughout the whole United States or anything. It's kind of reserved to this northern part, right? The
Vermont,
where the maples
Vermont
are.
Vermont and New York, that area is the big producer.
Okay.
And then Wisconsin's fourth. Yeah.
But if we get further south, then we're not, the maples aren't there.
Yeah, and you don't get the cycle of across freezing like you need.
Oh, of course.
Also.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. The science behind it. Like, you know, it's like something you don't think of. And then when I've had John on, he's talked about, you know, as you get into Iowa and things. And so it's interesting.
Yeah, and Minnesota, there's quite a lot in Minnesota, too, but it's not as big as it is here. And it's like less than 10% of the maple trees in Wisconsin are actually tapped.
Sure. So really the possibility to expand is there.
Yeah, there's a lot of room to expand.
Yeah.
Wow. And the trees and Don Hansen down at Don Sugar Shack in Taylor's Falls, he's a good source also for information the equipment you need and bottles and all that kind of stuff. But
for homeowners, like for people
for
backyard
homeowners
doing
and
it.
Stuff. Yep. And he has been doing it for a long time. And he says that what I felt was interesting is around here we have the red maples, the silver maples, and sugar maples.
Yes.
They're kind of the three kinds. And this, I've been talking about the percentage of sugar in the sap.
Right.
He said that they've been doing a lot of watching of it over the years, and it seems like the canopy, the tree, is what has the difference of what kind of sugar percentages you're going to get out of a tree.
Not necessarily the species?
The species doesn't matter as much. It does make a difference.
I mean, you would think with the name sugar maple, that would be the sugariest one.
Right, but if you have a sugar maple that is in the woods, and there's a lot of trees behind it, tall, skinny tree, bunch of branches on top.
Yeah.
It's supporting the leaves that are on top. Versus you take one that's out in the middle of a pasture where it's got a great big canopy and it covers a large area and got a lot of leaves on it. The ones with large canopies, the sugar content can run twice as high.
Well, it would make sense. It's food. I mean, it's feeding the tree. So if you have a bigger body to feed, you're going to need to produce more, right? I mean, that...
Yeah, that's... I don't know what the science is behind it.
But I don't know, but we need to find out. That sounds cool. I mean, it's... Well, then interesting, like, and how about, like, I mean, box elder is actually a type of maple. It's Acer, you know, it's that genus.
Yeah, you can make syrup out of that, but the sugar content is lower yet, and it might take... I haven't ever run a sugar test on it, because I've got a... testers that will test the sugar content of the refractometers that will test it, and it might only be 1%.
Well, it's so interesting.
Because we have what we call the rule of 86. So if you have, if you had a box elder and it had 1% sugar in it, you would take the 86 and divide it by the amount of sugar, so that means it would take 86 gallons to make a gallon. So like in maple this season, when you have, if you got 2% sugar, it's going to take 43 gallons to make a gallon. Well, if you have some of these where it's some of the big sugar maples that have a big canopy, they can be 4%.
Well, now you're down to 20 gallons.
Yeah, now you're down to a little over 20 gallons to make a gallon. So it makes a huge, huge difference. It doesn't sound like a lot percentage-wise, but it is.
That is interesting. Well, and part of why I asked about the box elder, I mean, people don't think of it as a maple, but it truly is in the maple family. It's an Acer. But there was one year, so there's a lot of box elder in the woods by my house, and... One year, you know, and Anthony maintains a trail in there. So he's cutting little branches off here and there and whatever. But we were calling them sapsicles. Like the sap would run and then it would freeze and it would hang down like a little icicle. And we pulled it off and sucked on it. You could taste the sweetness of it in the sapsicle. So that was from a box elder. So I was like, I wonder if people use it. And I've heard of people doing like there's what, birch syrup? And I think... walnut trees, too?
Walnut, too. Yeah. I've never done walnut. We have done... Dave Paulson and I did some birch one year.
And are you using the birch that has that wintergreen? Is it the Betula nigra, the black birch, I think? Or is there sweet... Anyway, I gotta review, people. But there's one of the birches that if you scratch the bark, it smells wintergreeny. I think that's what they use for, like, the birch...
I just use the big birch trees that were in my woods. I'm not sure what type of birch.
But what does it taste?
It tastes very much like maple syrup, but it's very low in sugar content. And we just did it with a turkey cooker because we didn't have enough to put it in a big evaporator.
Right.
And we cooked and cooked and cooked. And I think he got a pint and I got a pint, and we cooked forever. We figured we probably had $50 of fuel in each pint.
Oh gosh. I hope you enjoyed every drop of that.
But it was an experiment.
It was an experiment. Sure. If you knew Dave, experiments were good.
Yeah.
Well, and so, when you have time to have fun with that kind of stuff anyway, and you know, it's, you're passionate about it, it's and it is an experiment.
The other thing at the orchard, if you come this weekend, we have the two things we're going to have is we will have sap coffee that I make. And I collected some nice clear sap that I put in a refrigerator to keep it good. And then I make coffee But instead of using water, you use the sap.
How does that come out?
It's 2% sugar in it, or a little over 2% sugar, so it's very good. So it's I make that once a year for this farm tour.
Well, so that sounds super interesting.
And
that
then
sounds
we'll have
yummy.
Some maple sundaes, too, for people to try. And then we always have the maple cream that I make. That always is something we give samples out on also. So there'll be samples to try, and we'll have a few different things. I have just got a shipment of my car maple corn, which is something, if you've seen the sign advertising that, what it is I take maple syrup and maple cream down to Guth Candy Company down in Waupun. And Steve, it's a fourth generation candy company down there, and he makes it for me. He takes 2 pints of syrup, a half a pound of maple cream, and that's what he makes the caramel out of that he puts on the kettle corn.
Yum!
So then I have the car maple corn that's straight, just the car maple, and then we got some that are 50% cheese. So they have the two different kinds. And then, then I have some that's made with apple cider on it. So, and I just got my shipment in on that, so we'll have that also.
And are you using your own, are they using your cider for that?
They do not use my cider for that. That he makes out of cider that he gets locally. But he does use my maple syrup, and he only makes that for me. He doesn't make it for anybody else.
Wow. What I love, all these connections, like, that people are working together, and he's helping you, and you're helping them, and just...
And I also have the Guth chocolates, which go really well, and... About 90% of the candy that he makes goes to Door County.
Oh.
And on a good day, they will use 1,500 pounds of chocolate and caramel making candy.
Wow.
So it's not a real small operation, but it's a fourth generation. So, and actually, when I was down there last spring, the one daughter had her daughter in there who was probably 10 years old, and wrapping something, and it was so that's the fifth generation.
I love it.
Wow.
Well, and that's when you're dealing with, you know, I want to say local, but non-corporate or whatever these operations, they're willing to make a product for you and work with you and take your stuff and do it more of a small batch specialty item. And that's so great.
I take my product down, and then anytime I need a batch, which is every few weeks, then he just makes it and sends it up on Speedy. And
Wow. Then it's nice and fresh, too.
Yep. So.
Well, people are going to be full tomorrow. And then Maple, or Morley's always has that maple cotton candy, and that stuff is just, it's so good.
Yep.
And then one year at the Baker Orchard Art Festival, the Mini Donuts people... We're making cider donuts with the Baker Orchard cider, and then you could pay like an extra dollar, and they'd put the Morley's maple sugar on it. Oh my goodness. I'm usually not into sweets, but I mean mini donuts and then cider donuts with maple sugar. Oh
yeah.
So good.
Yep.
So the maple syrup that you make, do you bottle it? Do you can it? What do you do with it to sell it?
Well, before I sell it, I have it in all types of containers, fancy ones. And then the largest I have are half gallons.
Wow.
I have half gallons, quarts, pints, and then all the fancy glass.
Okay.
And that's a lot of gifty stuff and some small. And I sell all my syrup right there. Now, I did take some up, and they are selling it at the information center in St. Croix.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You know, yeah. So they are selling it up there. And
they do a good job.
Then, I'm sorry, I said maple syrup. I took my honey up there.
Ah.
Because at the orchard, I also have 21 beehives.
Yeah, so how did you get into the bee? Was the bees just an add-on with the...
Well, I planted the apple trees in 2009, and then Debbie Elmer is a good friend of mine, and she had a beehive here in town, and she wanted to bring it out to the orchard, so she brought it out to the orchard, and then it just kind of morphed from there.
Thanks, Debbie.
They have a way of growing.
Now I have 21 hives, and I...
And are you the primary beekeeper then?
Yes.
Yeah, that's my thought.
But I do not take care of them myself at wintertime. There is Ames Farms from Delano, Minnesota, and he has a lot of bees. He has like 400 hives. And he has some little customers like Whole Foods and some of those.
Yeah.
So, but he has land down in Houston, Texas. So every first part of September, I take them over to him, and then he gets them ready for the winter. And then he has a two-trailer semi that he takes the bees down to Houston.
They're snowbirds. They get to, snow bees. They get to go to Texas for the winter. They're spoiled.
And then they don't harvest any honey or anything from them. They just use them for raising more bees. And then he raises queens. And then he'll bring probably 600 hives back north to sell this spring.
Right.
And then so about the 1st of May, I will get my bees back.
And so you're still getting your same lady? Like they're keeping track of who your hives are your
hives? My hives all have my name written on the outside of them. So I get my own hives back. But they may or may not have the same queen in there because... They watch, and if you need a queen, they requeen them. And then the worker bees only live 35 to 45 days. So all the bees they've regenerated.
Yeah. Okay, we need to have you on. How does this always happen? It was like 5 after a minute ago. Now it's 25 after. Okay, Bill, I would love for you to come on again, and we're going to do just talking about bees and honey harvesting and beekeeping. Would you be amenable to that
type of show? Yes, I could do that. Sure.
I think it would be great. So you have the honey that you're harvesting at the farm there.
Yep.
You've got the orchard now that you've had for 14 years now, 15 years going on, so your production there should be high. Yep. And then you do some... gourds and pumpkins and stuff too.
My neighbor Marlon Blargen raises those. But the one other product I will have available this weekend is I have quite a lot of frozen cider.
Ooh, yeah, so, and it keeps well if you put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
It's going to taste just as fresh as the day that it was pressed. Oh, that's a score.
So I've got quite a little of that.
Good for you.
Also. So.
Yeah, that'll be a treat.
So it's all available this weekend.
Yep, it's all available, and the store's open on Saturdays. This time of the year, we're open Saturdays 10 to 3. This weekend, the hours will be a little longer.
And 9 to 4, is that what you said for the tour? Okay.
And then the following, if you watch the Facebook page or my website, then you'll see what the hours are. They change. They get much longer during apple season.
Sure. And Z Orchard, you can look them up online or on Facebook. And then you have your sign when you're open. Your open sign is out, and people can come and tour. And even if they can't come tomorrow, there's lots of good offerings. They can come at another time.
Yes, that'd be fine.
Ugh. I'm daydreaming about that cider, that you were able to keep the cider, hold yourself back from that for the season. Yeah, and then we'll find a date for getting you on to talk about the bees. Because I've talked some about bees, but it's just only been my own research into it, no real life experience or anything, and just more out of curiosity. But to have you on as a beekeeper would be... just great. I mean, I'm already so interested. They get to go away for the winter.
I suppose if we stayed on another half hour, you'd get into that too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, thank you, and thanks again to Baker Orchard for sponsoring Plant Rant. We really appreciate it, and for Z Orchard being one of our newest underwriters as well. Keeps us going.
Absolutely. It's the only way this place works is if people are helping us.
Yes.
Help has always comes with money. It also can come with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.